إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تنقطع الهجرة حتى تنقطع التوبة، ولا تنقطع التوبة حتى تطلع الشمس من مغربها. He said عليه الصلاة والسلام that migration will not cease, will not end until repentance comes to end. And repentance will not expire, will not reach its conclusion, will not stop until the sun rises from the west. So in this hadith, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam brings up the idea, the act of migration of hijrah up to the level of repentance and ties the two together so that we do not misunderstand what hijrah means and believe that it was just simply a phase and it just ended. It wasn't just simply a time or a specific place and then hijrah as a concept fades away from memory and practice. No, hijrah, according to this hadith, is continuous and does not stop. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said hijrah is of two kinds. And it's important to understand those two and understand also the connection between them. He says there is physical hijrah and there is spiritual hijrah. The physical hijrah is based on the spiritual one. The substance of physical hijrah, any physical movement away from what Allah hates towards what Allah loves, must be based on and founded upon a spiritual migration that follows the same direction, that precedes and accompanies that physical hijrah. So the physical hijrah, and the best of it, was the hijrah from Mecca to Medina to Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. It is the hijrah that was so foundational that it started and spread and cemented the practice of Islam in Medina and from that to the rest of the world. It was the best of hijrah, and it ended with the opening of Mecca. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا هجرة بعد الفتح. There is no such hijrah, that specific hijrah, after the opening of Mecca. And before that, the great messenger of Allah alayhi wa ala nabiyin as-salam, Ibrahim, was the first to migrate for the sake of Allah azza wa jal, where he said, as Allah told about him in the Quran, وَقَالَ إِنِّي مُهَاجِرٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. He said, I am migrating to Allah, to where I would be able to worship and please Allah Azza wa Jal. وفي آية أخرى, in another ayah, وَقَالَ إِنِّي ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. He said, I am migrating to Allah, He will guide me. He will guide me to where I should go. He would guide me to what I should do. And Allah Azza wa Jal blessed him because of this. And connected to this physical hijrah, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, إِنَّهَا سَتَكُونُ هِجْرَةٌ بَعْدَ هِجْرَةٌ فَخِيَارُ النَّاسِ أَلْزَمُهُمْ مُهَاجَرَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. alayhi salam. He says there's going to be a continuous hijrah after hijrah. I mean, that thing does not stop. And the best of people will be the people who will migrate to where Ibrahim alayhi salam migrated. And that is Ardu Sham. Those who will migrate to it and those who will stay in it, especially at the end of time. Because that is a land of jihad, and that is where the end of time the believers will gather. So a physical hijrah, though the one from Mecca to Medina expired, and that is the best of it, but a physical hijrah doesn't cease, doesn't stop. And you would go from one country to another, from one city to another, from one neighborhood to another, where the location, the place, the country that you are moving to is more pleasing to Allah, and you would be are more pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal in it. That never stops. But the other hijrah that Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned, which is what? The spiritual hijrah. Al-hijratu ila Allah wa rasulih, migrating to Allah Azza wa Jal and to the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam with your heart and with your acts. Even though you might be in the same place. And that is the basis of all hijrah. And without it, any physical hijrah will fail. Why so? Because if you were to read the difficulties that Muslims faced when they moved from Mecca to Medina, the difficulties in Medina, the lack of food, the lack of water, the lack of wealth, the lack of money, the lack of security, the fear, the terror that they experienced, the death that they experienced, the disease in Medina, you'll understand that they were tested in their migration. And they would not be able to withstand that test if not for the fact that their hearts migrated before that to Allah Azza wa Jalla and to His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. So the best of migration is to migrate to Allah and to His Messenger. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in a hadith, he said and he expanded the concept, the idea of hijrah, where he said, وَالْمُهَاجِرُ مَنْ هَاجَرَ مَا نَهَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. وَالْمُهَاجِرُ, the migrant is the one who leaves, migrates away from what Allah hates. مَنْ هَجَرَ الذُّنُوبَ وَالْخَطَايَا, the one who abandons or migrates away from sins. So migrating to Allah is a migration first and foremost with the heart. So that you love Allah more than you love anything else. And you fear Allah more than you fear anyone or anything else. And you worship Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you worship none but Him. And you rely on Him. And when you want to ask, you ask Him before anyone else. Today you find some people here and there that when they want to ask, they ask someone who is dead. They ask someone who they think is righteous. They seek their assistance instead of Allah Azza wa Jal. When they want to solve a problem, they go to a magician and they say, help me. They go to a fortune teller or a psychic or a horoscope and they say, tell me what my future is going to be. And that is all is shirk in Allah Azza wa Jal. They wrap something around their arm or they put it under their pillow and they think that that thing is going to protect them and help them. Instead, and without Allah Azza wa Jal, and all that is shirk. They live for the sake of the dunya, and they die for the sake of the dunya, and loving and dying for the sake of dunya is a form of shirk in Allah, because it does take you away from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So instead of being Abdullahi, you be Abd al-Dollar, Abd al-Dinari wa dirham, the slave and servant of gold and silver and the dollar. You are happy because of the dunya, and wretched because of the dunya. You wake up for it and you die for it and you sleep thinking about it. So the heart must migrate to Allah Azza wa Jal. Would you feel that if Allah is satisfied with me, I don't care about anything else? And if there is a choice between what Allah loves and what I love, or what Allah loves and what people tell me to do, I'll do what Allah wants from me. And without that, the heart, even though it could inhabit a body that is praying and that is fasting, but that heart is not a slave to Allah Azza wa Jal, but a slave to its own desires. A person must also migrate to Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and you ask yourself, what would prompt, what would propel someone living among their family, in their land, next to their property, to leave all of this and migrate to a new land, Medina, where they may not know anyone or have any prospects of a new job. They don't know how they will live, where they will live. They will just land in Medina for the sake of being next to Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, to champion this prophet with his message. What would prompt someone to do this, to leave everything from the dunya and move to Medina? And it's nothing else except pleasing Allah Azza wa Jalla and wanting to be next to this man, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, to learn from him, to defend him, to spread his message, and to die next to him. So today, we don't have that particular honor. But wherever you may be, you could migrate to Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam and you can be like one of his companions. You say, how? I say, if you love him more than you love yourself, or if that is yet to be accomplished, you say, you follow him. And the more you follow him, the more that you're going to love him. So you ask yourself, who is my model in life? Who is my example? What is my inspiration? Are they celebrities? Athletes? How do I think about the small things that you do? Before I leave my house, how do I comb my hair? How do I cut my hair? What dress do I put on? What do I put on my face? How do I talk? How do I walk? How do I sleep? How do I eat? What inspires me to travel here but not there? This will tell you your example. What makes you happy? What makes you sad? Who is your friend? How you choose your friend? All this tells you who is your inspiration in life. And if you find it somebody else other than Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, then our migration to him is incomplete. You would not have migrated to him alayhi salatu wasalam until you've taken him as an example in everything. And he had left instructions, models, recommendations, commands in everything. From how you marry, to how you raise your children, to how you sleep, to how you walk, to how you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to how you spend your time. So when you read his ahadith, it's like you're sitting next to him, listening to him. When you adopt some of these ahadith into practice, you're like a companion of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, who's copying what he has seen him do, and now he's imitating it, and by that, others will see and be inspired by what you're doing. إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله. If you say that you love Allah عز وجل, then follow me, meaning follow Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام. So that Allah will love you. Loving him عليه الصلاة والسلام is not simply by claims or songs, by poetry, by dancing. These are not things that prove anything about the love of Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام. It's how much you follow him. How much does he inspire you? How much you want to see him. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, I have not seen my brethren. And these are people who will come after me. They have not seen me. They wish that would they see me, even if they were to lose their family and their wealth in exchange. Meaning their love for Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is intense, so intense. If the offer is, leave your family, leave your wealth and go and see him, they would say, I'll leave all of that to go and see him. That's the love that we need for Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So again, you ask yourself, is he my example or somebody else is? And if somebody else is, then that model is tainted. That migration is not there or it is incomplete. Not until you migrate fully in your heart and in your practice to Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And what will aid in all of this is to migrate to the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, not away from it, but to it. Right? Imagine if someone, and they do that sometimes at the beginning of the year, or the end of the year. These are the best books of the year. These are the books that I'm going to read for the following year. And if this person is an influencer, he's famous, people will follow his recommendation. This book about economics, about philosophy, about health, about this, about that. And these books become popular. Imagine that you have the book. And who's the author here? Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's complete and it's pure. And you don't read it. And you abandon it. And you dismiss it. And you don't seek guidance from it. And to an extent we've fulfilled what Allah said that the Prophet will say, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. He said, Ya Allah, my people have abandoned this Qur'an. Have abandoned, left it. Not only left it in recitation, but left it in guidance. Left it in terms of a solution to your problem. Left it in terms of painting the way out of the dilemmas that we find ourselves in. So again, when you want to read, what are you reading? And we all should be reading. What are you reading? And is your time dedicated in part at least to the book of Allah Azza wa Jal? Not just simply read, but to read and understand, and then read and understand and apply and seek solutions from it. So when you open the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, you're not only and simply seeking barakah from it, and barakah is important to seek from the book of Allah, but you're looking for answers. You're looking for guidance. You want to learn from each ayah, and you want to connect this ayah to the world today to see how it's asking you to behave. What is it teaching you? So that migration to the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that migration to the hadith, to the sunnah, to the model of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, will lead you to a greater love for the Prophet, connection to him. And that will lead you to a great love for Allah Azza wa Jal, until Allah is the dearest thing to you. You'd be thinking about him when you wake up. You know that he's watching you. You know that he is the one who can assist you. You know he's closer to you than your parents, than your spouse, than your child. You know that he will benefit you more than any one of them. You know that you can rely on him more than the money that you have in the bank. Whatever you have saved. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. You want to ask? Ask Allah Azza wa Jal. That's when the heart believes that Allah Azza wa Jal is there for me, no matter what. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ, you need assistance. Let Allah Azza wa Jal be the one who assists you. Don't trust people, but trust Allah Azza wa Jal. That's how you start to realize that Allah Azza wa Jal is the one and only. Not only in the fact that when I stand to pray, I only face Him, bow to him in ruku', prostrate to him in sujood, and that is it. No, my heart also never bows and never prostrates except to Allah Azza wa Jal. If I want, Allah gives me. If I'm sick, Allah cures me. If I'm lost, Allah guides me. And he is the one who takes care of feeding me and clothing me in the dunya. And he takes care of me before and during death. And he takes care of me when I'm resurrected. And as it is the case that when you stand before Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment, no one can help. Only Allah Azza wa Jal. It's the same scene in the dunya. Don't be deluded by what people do. Only Allah Azza wa Jal is there for us. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive us and empower us and guide us to what He loves. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شاء من شيء بعد وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد. Hijrah would be incomplete, that spiritual hijrah, until you migrate away from sin into the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning that the eyes need to migrate, and the ears need to migrate, and the tongue needs to migrate, and the hands and the feet and the body migrate away from the displeasure of Allah Azza wa Jal to what pleases Allah. So the eyes must stop looking at the haram. Because when you do the physical hijrah, and again, anyone who is thinking about it, or anyone who is in the process or in the midst of a physical hijrah to Allah Azza wa Jal, don't think that any physical hijrah is going to be easy. You are going to be tested when you migrate. Especially if that migration is truly pleasing to Allah, if it's done for Allah's sake, you are going to be tested in that migration. But when you migrate, why do you migrate? Because you want to shield your eye from what displeases Allah. So if you're not doing that now, if you don't want to do that right now, how would a physical hijrah help you? And sin is everywhere. So you must be willing to do it. You want to do it right at this moment, and you must strive for that. So you stay away from what Allah hates. The eyes need to be diverted towards what Allah loves. The ears, stop listening to what Allah hates. The tongue must not engage in haram, but rather in what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you think about it, if you were to be in Medina next to Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, how would you control your eyes? How would you control your ears? How would you control your tongue? And then how would you control your body to be close to Allah, to be worthy of that title of a sahabi, of a companion of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, to be a person who can do something meaningful in this life, not be invaded by, controlled by its filth, but one who is cleaning that filth and guiding people to Allah Azza wa Jal. Without that act of migration, that constant vigilance, that awareness that this is haram, don't do it, this is pleasing to Allah, you should do it, without that constant vigilance and review, you will not be able to maintain that status of a migrant to Allah Azza wa Jal. So that is also a call for not following the status quo, not following what simply people do just because they do it, not following the dominant group, not accepting what society, whatever that society may be, is feeding you of haram, is telling you of lies, of wasting and killing your life through entertainment, athletic events, whatever, that just sucks the substance out of your life, just wastes your time and fills your head with trivial nonsense. We must, if you want to immigrate to Allah and to His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, also migrate psychologically, emotionally, intellectually, so you're not captive of a system that displeases Allah Azza wa Jal. How are you thinking matters? You're not about this rampant consumerism. You're not about feminism. You're not about capitalism. You're not enslaved to any of these ideas. I'm not going to imitate this celebrity or actor or singer or athlete just because he's being propped as an example. You question and you say, what have they done to be an example? Why am I modeling myself after them? Why do I talk like so-and-so? Why do I dress like so-and-so? Just because everybody else is doing it, because my surroundings have chosen that, you should be better than that. Why do I look like so-and-so? Why did I make that choice? Unconscious choice sometimes. But why might they make that conscious choice? Do they really have anything of excellence that is worthy of emulation? And if not, then come back to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is a constant review that you do. When you go on social media, you ask yourself repeatedly, why am I following this person? Why am I accepting this video? Why am I accepting that? Who is this person to give advice, to publish a video? Who is this person to be followed? So a hijrah is also a hijrah that is continuous, that is minute, that is protective of your heart. And some people might think that if I do this, I'll be shunned. I'll have less and less of this dunya. I'll have fewer friends. And Allah Azza wa Jal said about the physical hijrah, وَمَنْ يُهَاجِرْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يَجِدْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُرَاغَمًا كَثِيرًا وَسَعَةً. It says, the one who migrates for the sake of Allah, he'll find on this earth a refuge and a spacious area to inhabit. What he's saying there, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that when you leave that discomfort, that oppression, that sin, don't think that you will have less, but you are going to have more, because you will find muragama. Muragama is a place that you're going to be inhabiting, and you will find protection, nobility, dignity in it, sustenance in it, wasa'a, abundance. And that is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if you leave something for His sake to another, the other will be blessed and better for you. So if you're leaving a practice for the sake of Allah and you say, I'm going to lose some friends because of it, I may unfortunately lose some family members because of it, I'm going to be losing spaces or food or money because of it, He says, don't think you're going to have less, because Allah's promise is that you're going to have more. But in the beginning, you will be tested, because Allah wants to see, was this for His sake or not? Who's worthy to be in Medina with Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam? He said alayhi salatu wasalam about Medina, إِنَّ الْمَدِينَةَ تَنْفِي خَبَثَهَا كَمَا يَنْفِي الْكِيرُ خَبَثَ الْحَدِيدِ. It says Medina expels its filth, contaminations, just like a furnace will expel the contamination of iron. For iron to be pure, for any metal to be pure, you put it in the furnace, and all those contaminations, they melt away, right? They go away. But the act of being put in a furnace is necessary for that purification. So he said Medina, we can think about Medina itself, the physical Medina, or Medina as a place or as an idea where you migrate to please Allah Azza wa Jal. It says it's going to expel contaminations just like a furnace does. So when you first migrate to Allah Azza wa Jal, you will experience some of that furnace. And if you are strong enough, and your strength is only because of Allah, not because of you, if you rely on Allah Azza wa Jal, if you seek His assistance, you say, Allah, keep helping me. I'm doing this, Ya Allah, for Your sake. Purify my intention and strengthen my resolve. Strengthen my body. So if you do this, the contamination will be cast out. And you will remain pure because of your persistence. So yes, in the beginning, you'll be tested in every decision that you make to please Allah Azza wa Jal. People will test you. The shayateen will test you. Family could even test you. But if you persist, Allah Azza wa Jal will give you power over everything. And there's no better example than the example of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam and the companions. If they were to quit in the first year, second year, third year of living in Medina, it'll be over. But because they persisted, we're Muslims today. Because they persisted, you're Muslim today. So if you want that Islam to continue to be given to your children and their children, to spread, to be strong, we need also to migrate. So we ask Allah Rabbil Alameen, Arhamar Rahimeen, to make us of those who migrate to Him and to His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and away from what He hates. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our hearts with love for Him and love for His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbil Alameen, to guide us to what He loves and to make us perceptive of what He hates so that we could avoid it. We ask Him, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, forgive us all of our sins, the private ones and the public ones. We ask you, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, to give us strength to help ourselves and help Muslims around the world. We ask you, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, to send your relief upon every Muslim who is suffering here and everywhere else, especially in the Bilad al-Sham, especially in Gaza and in Palestine, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulubi thabbit qulubana ala dinik. Allahumma ya musarrif al-qulubi sarrif qulubana ala ta'atik. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma anzil nasraka wa farajaka ala al-muslimin fi kulli makan wa khususan fi ardi Filastina wa ardi al-Sham. Rabb العالمين اللهم أطعمهم وأسقهم واحفظهم يا رب العالمين اللهم احفظهم عليهم أموالهم وأعراضهم ودماءهم وأولادهم وذريهم يا رب العالمين اللهم رد بأس الكائدين في نحورهم اللهم رد بأس الكائدين في نحورهم اللهم رد بأس الكائدين في نحورهم رب العالمين اللهم اجعلنا ممن نصر دينك ونصر عبادك رب العالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين.